Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Life You Love. I'm your host, Kimberly, and I'm so excited for you to be here because today we are going into the first series on this podcast, and that series is all about training your brain. I am really excited about this topic because we are going to be talking about our dear friend, the amygdala, and how we can use techniques to retrain the amygdala. And I'll tell you a little bit about why and why that's important. But first, I want to do some shout outs. Since I launched the podcast, I didn't have any expectations of it. I was hopeful that it would reach lots of people. And I just want to share some really awesome appreciation for all of you who have been listening and who have been following the podcast, and specifically those who are in all of these amazing countries around the world. I am so happy to celebrate you and give appreciation to you because you're helping kind of make my dreams come true of reaching people all around the world. And so I'm here to shout out to those in Sweden who have been listening to the podcast, those of you in India and the United Arab Emirates and Argentina, Canada, and of course, my family and friends in the United States and anyone else who might not know me personally in the US, but it's just been really exciting to launch this and to see that that is a possibility. And so really why I'm sharing this is because this is my story of this dream that I had of having this platform to speak about all of these awesome things, techniques, practices, ways of life that can help elevate the life that you have, elevate you as an individual, and show up to this world as an even better version of yourself, and also be able to go through some of the recovery and resolutions that we need to go through as humans, that based off of the experiences that we've learned or had in our lives. And I just really rejoice having each and every one of you here. I'm so appreciative of it. And I'm here to hopefully inspire you to go and do exactly what you want to do and have a passion project and have this cool thing that is just unique to you because it speaks to your heart. It's coming from your heart. And that's what this is for me. And when you do that, the results just come. The impact just comes with it because it is your authentic self that is, the root of the work. And when you tap into that creative side or you tap into that career that is just speaking so heavily on your heart and in your mind, that's when you just tap into the abundance and the possibilities are endless. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you sharing and subscribing and following the podcast. I really appreciate you spreading the word about it. And, that's the way that I've been able to reach all of you in this short amount of time. And so I just love you all. Thank you so much for being here. And so let's get into this cool series on how to train your brain. So a little introduction to this. Training your brain means that you get to know the purpose of the different parts of your brain. And one specific part of your brain that we can train and what we're focusing on in this series is the amygdala. And the amygdala is responsible for your stress responses. And it is the coordinator of your physiological stress responses, and it is a big component to your psychological stress. And stress is a really good thing for us. It helps us maybe get some things done, but it's also one of the things that can be damaging. If the pendulum is swung too far to the side to one side, it can actually cause some problems. So here we're going to talk about three different approaches to, or three different practices to train your brain. And the first one is meditation. The second one is hypnosis. And the third is tapping. So I'm excited. Those are all going to be split up into three different episodes. So this episode is all about meditation. And I'm going to share with you five of my favorite meditation practices. Meditation has, there's not one type of meditation that is the best or the right one. there's just so many different options because all of us are different and we all experience different things that need to be addressed. And so meditation is versatile and it helps us with any situation that we're experiencing. But first, I kind of want to share a personal story about Kimberly before meditation. And this is kind of fun. And it actually had a huge impact on my life. I went to school right out of high school. I went to college and studied music education. And I was the youngest in my graduating class. And so I went into college pretty young. And when I was 19, I did some observations as part of my degree. We had to go to classrooms and observe the music teacher, observe the class. It was a little bit of music education and psychology kind of all mixed together, common practices, best practices, things that you've learned not to do, all sorts of stuff. Well, it also exposes you to kids and, you know, the day in the life of a teacher. And for all of you teachers out there, you know, I have a place in my heart for you. I grew up in a teacher family of teachers. I was going to be a teacher, and so many of my friends are teachers. And so I love teachers. And I definitely know that there's a level of patience that you have to have, which I did not have at the time. And so I'm in this middle school choir class, and I am just reacting to these kids. And I just think they're like the worst behaved kids I've ever seen. And I realized that there's so much responsibility from my mindset and my reactions and my inability to have patience and my inability to have compassion and understanding and grace for these kids. They're kids. Like, they're figuring things out. They're absorbing whatever is happening in their own environments, and they're utilizing those skills that they've learned, whether they're right or wrong, good, indifferent, doesn't matter. These are their coping. This is their lifestyle. This is what they know in that moment. And that doesn't always produce good results. And so it can be pretty stressful to be in a middle school classroom. It can be pretty stressful to be in any classroom. And so what I learned from that over the years was, you know, I stepped out of that and I was like, there's no way I can do this. I'm not fit for this. It's not something that I'm passionate about doing. Like, if this is my life, then, oh my gosh, it's going to be the worst. And what that has informed me today is that I just didn't have the capabilities, the skills, and the practices in place to manage that kind of stress. So I had to go through my own experiences between then and now to come to that realization. But what I also learned was that at that time, I did not have a supportive lifestyle. I didn't have a stress management lifestyle. I didn't know how to do, you know, how to manage my stress. You know, I thought that certain things I was doing was right, and sure, they probably did have benefits. But overall, I was living a stressful lifestyle, and I didn't know how to get out of that because I needed to learn the skills to do that. And fortunately, I found my way, and I found practices such as meditation that have served me. So I'm going to go into, which, by the way, I am great with kids nowadays. I could probably walk into a classroom and just have the time of my life. And in fact, I have thought that if I, you know, scrapped everything that I'm doing, I would sign up to be a substitute teacher. I don't want to teach full time, but, you know, I'll give some teachers a break and go in and have some fun in the classroom with those kiddos. And so kids teach you so much. I love them. And I love hanging out with them. I love learning about them. I love finding their, their strengths and helping guide them through, you know, positive mindsets. It's so fun. So I know that that's a big part of my life, and I just needed to grow myself to get to that point. All right, so let's go into five of my favorite meditation practices. And the first one is guided meditation. And I chose to share this one first because it's excellent for new meditators. And it's also excellent for people who practice meditation all the time. Guided meditation is an excellent way to allow somebody else to softly guide you through whatever it is that you're trying to meditate on, whether that's nothing and you just want to have a calm peace of mind, or whether that's something that you want to truly meditate on. Maybe that's a mantra, maybe it's a, you know, re-declaring a belief that you have of yourself and removing a limiting belief. Guided meditations are great for those of us who practice meditation regularly because it allows us to receive new perspectives, new words, new empowerment so that we can overcome some of the situations that we're in. And so I highly recommend guided meditation as part of your meditation practice because it does help you get out of your mind, get out of your way, and it gives you somebody else to help you through meditation. The other thing I want to say for those of you who are new to meditation is that it can be kind of difficult and maybe even frustrating to get your body and your mind to settle down. There's this possibility that you might judge yourself for not getting into flow state of mind or a calm state of mind. And so guided meditation helps you release the need to try and figure out how to get into that calm state of mind, and they just get you there, right? So it releases the work that you might feel that you have to do in order to meditate. And that's certainly not the point of meditation. It shouldn't be work. It should just be a very easy state of mind to go into. But that's not always easy, especially when you're new to it and you're introducing a way for your brain and your body to relax. So love guided meditations. There are all sorts of kinds of guided meditations out there. Search the web and you will find the one that's right for you. The next one I love is Qigong meditation. And Qigong is a way where we activate the body, the mind, the breath, and bring it all together to unify and open up the energy within our bodies. And so we're going to talk more about this in other episodes, but the body has 12 meridian points, and the meridian points are responsible for allowing energy to flow through your body. And what Qigong does is it activates those meridian points, gets you to really understand where your body is in the space that you're in, and it helps slow things down. So you're activating great deep breathing, you're moving your body in and with that breath. You're also Qigong helps with stretching, flexibility, and activating the lymph nodes and moving all of those fluids so that your energy is in flow, which is so important for optimal health, optimal wellness, optimal focus, optimal physiological being. And remember when I said earlier that the amygdala is responsible for that physiological stressors. So the physiological stress responses, i.e. your nervous system, right? Your nervous system has learned specific reactions to things in life. And so you might be annoyed by certain situations over and over and over again, right? When you ask yourself, what annoys me? Well, you might feel, when you think about that annoyance, something in your body. And that's because your amygdala has memorized this response, it's memorized the situation, and then your nervous system has also memorized the emotional response and the physical response that you have to that situation. So Qigong is an excellent way to activate the body, activate the nervous system, and reprogram how your amygdala responds to certain stress situations. What it also does, all of these practices help get your, and there are studies on this, so this is, there's proof in the pudding. What happens is through meditation practices, because you're moving into this focus of being in the present state of being, you are informing your amygdala that, hey, no matter what happens, no matter what situations I experience, I can be calm. And that is, I think, the ultimate way of flowing through life, is being able to face adversity or face situations and unexpected hardships and just say, I can flow through this. I have the skills and the abilities to manage this stress and I can overcome this. And so it's really important to understand how that works in your body. And that's primarily through the amygdala and nervous system relationship. So the next one that I love to use is binaural beats and sound bath meditations. Binaural beats and Tibetan bowls and sound bath meditation is really awesome because it allows your brain to just eat up those awesome frequencies. And it gives your brain, it gets your brain moving into alpha and beta, depending on what you're listening to, but alpha and beta wave frequencies. And these have different effects on the brain, which have an effect on the body. And what I love most about binaural, I primarily use it as a healing modality. And it helps me get into this very peaceful state of mind. I'm just listening and absorbing these frequencies and the sounds that come with it. And I actually tend to get into that vibrational state of meditation from binaural more than I do in other meditation practices. So I really love binaural beats and Tibetan bowl meditations because of how those sound waves affect my body, and really, really love this one. It's just so juicy and awesome. So that is the third of my five favorite meditation practices. The next one is breathing meditations. And this is also called calming meditations, where you're focused on your breath and really moving your state of mind to relax the thoughts and just simply focus on your breath. And what I really love about this one is it's actually done something interesting to my thoughts, because growing up, I have always been a small person. My metabolism has always been high. I think that growing up as kind of like the skinny person made me think that I needed to suck in all the time. And that really impacted my breathing. I had a very difficult time, relieving stress because I was constantly tight in my abdomen. And I think that also has had an impact on my digestive system. Like, I am constantly squeezing all of those organs and not allowing my abdomen to relax and give those organs the ability to just be in their place and do what they need to do. And so this breath meditation is so important. And maybe you guys have a similar story. It doesn't have to be the same as mine, but maybe you do have something about breathing that you want to improve. A lot of us just breathe very high in our lungs. We don't give ourselves the ability to have deep breaths. We're very shallow in breathing. And breathing is so important for us to be able to maintain a good level of stress management and just inform our body that it is okay to be relaxed. It is okay to move into our breath and allow our breath to guide us. So breathing meditation, breath meditation practices are great for that, to just allow yourself to tap into your breath, be in focus, release some stress, release some anxiety about whatever might be happening in that moment. So I highly recommend this technique. And maybe you're going to learn something about yourself through any of these techniques, just like I have. So the last meditation practice that I love is transcendental meditation. And the reason that I love this one is because it is very good for receiving messages and processing information. Because what happens is, through transcendental meditation, you are saying this mantra in your head very, very quietly. Typically, you start with saying it, at a normal volume in your head, and then you easily move it down and quiet it down in your mind. And so it's almost like it's a mile away, but you can still kind of hear it. And transcendental meditation allows your scattered thoughts, those thoughts that are processing through our brain all the time, all day long, to be almost like dismissed or allowed to pass. And the reason for that is because you have the mantra and you're focusing on that mantra. And it's not like this like gripping focus. It's just that I allow myself to listen to this mantra in my mind because it is a way for me to almost hypnotize my brain into this state of peace, this state of calm, and no other thoughts are going to really interrupt. Now, the thing with TM and really with all meditations is that you could possibly experience some disturbing thoughts. And that's because your brain doesn't have any idea what to throw at you. And it's just like, here's some stuff that you should probably think about right now. And you're like, whoa, that's kind of big and disturbing. And I don't like that. And I also don't like the fact that my brain is going to those dark places. This is a normal thing to happen. Now, what I do want to encourage is that if these are traumatic thoughts because of something that you have experienced in your life, that's a different story, right? We know through the studies in meditation that meditation doesn't work for everyone immediately. And that's because there are certain things that really need to be addressed and healed in order for you to get to all of those awesome benefits. When you experience these disturbing thoughts, just know that it is part of the process. And it's okay. You don't have to judge yourself for having those thoughts, and you can allow them to pass. But just be mindful that when you do have those thoughts, just consider, is this based off of something that I have been through because of my traumas that I've experienced in my life? Or is this something that was, fictional because I heard or I watched it in a movie, or maybe this is something that scared me from a news report, and now my brain is creating this crazy situation and disturbing thought in my mind. So, you know, those are all things to be mindful of when you go into meditation, is that not all the time is meditation like frolicking through fields and listening to birds and having this transcendence to your ninth dimension self. It's real stuff. Like, your brain has memorized real stuff, and some of that real stuff is real disturbing too. So just be mindful of that and know that you're not alone in those experiences, but there are definitely ways to help yourself through those and make sure that you have what you need in order to process those thoughts and experiences. And, you know, if you want to come out of meditation and write those things down and get them out of your brain, that's an excellent way to process it too. All right, everyone. So I know you probably weren't expecting me to cover those parts of meditation. I don't think that many people really talk about the things that are the unexpected parts of meditation. But really, the point is our brain and our body has memorized certain things. And so when we go into meditation and we practice these different forms of training our brain, we will experience stuff that has to surface, and that stuff can be really great and inspiring. And it's like, oh my gosh, I just realized my passion work, or I just realized like I got direction and clarity for my life. Or those thoughts are, oh my gosh, that was a really heavy meditation. Like, I processed a lot through that, and everything is perfect. That is exactly what should happen. And just know that that's part of the process. So thank you so much for joining me on this episode of The Life You Love and part of the series of Train Your Brain. I am so happy that you're here as part of this community. Be sure to share, like, follow, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. That helps it get surfaced up on podcast hosts like Apple and Spotify and Google. And I just really appreciate each and every one of you for listening in and sharing. And if you have anything that you want me to talk about in any of my upcoming episodes, send me a DM on Instagram. You can follow me. It's Kimberly-Tackett, T-A-C-K-E-T-T. And I can't wait to meet you. Introduce yourself to me. I love meeting people all around the world. It's one of my favorite things to do. Who doesn't want friends all around the world, right? Especially for those of us who love to travel. It's like, yeah, I want to know people where I go. So yeah, introduce yourself. And I'm so excited to, you know, have this platform for you. And I hope that it's inspiring you in your daily work. And please be sure, like I said at the very beginning, go find your passion project. Go do it. I encourage you so much to start. And I know that starting is one of the scarier parts about the process. That is what stopped me, was thinking that if I were to start this, what would happen? And I'm very fortunate that I was able to work through those and just accept that this is a bigger part of my being. And in order for me to really live life to the fullest and live the life that I love, I need to do this. And why not do it? Like, I can't judge myself, and I, you know, don't accept the judgment of others. And so just go through life with that. And I hope that it serves you well. All right, everyone. Well, you have an awesome week. I will see you on the next episode of The Life You Love, where we talk about training your brain through hypnosis. Can't wait to talk to you then on The Life You Love.